the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower. I know this is the holiday season. Everyone's thinking about Christmas, New Year's parties, all that good food. We really don't want to spoil your mood, but we do need to remind you that this year, major tax changes went into effect as a result of the passage of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that was passed just this last December, which is now in effect for this year. Now, time's running out, so what we're going to do is talk about the things that you should get done before the end of the year to avoid big tax surprises or even IRS penalties when you do file your taxes next April.
And this is really going to be an important one, Chris, because this was probably the biggest tax law change that we have seen since Reagan passed tax reform in 1986. So let's begin with the basics. The first thing you absolutely need to do is make sure you're withholding enough tax from your income. Now, the reason this is important is many of you listening into this program live in high tax states, whether you live in our own state like California, which has the highest taxes in the country, New York or New Jersey. If you're a high income payer, you could end up owing more income taxes for 2018 as a result of the loss of many of your itemized deductions. For example, from state taxes, and that's a big one if you live in New York, New Jersey, or California, the limitation on property taxes, miscellaneous deductions, property and casualty loss deductions, and loss of personal exemptions. So you really want to check with your tax accountant or financial advisor so you can avoid these IRS penalties. And what these penalties are 0.5% of the tax due for every month you're not paid. So say, for example, I don't know, you underpaid your taxes by $10,000 and that tax is due. Well, every month you haven't paid it, so you underpaid it, you would owe 0.5%. So the last thing you want to do is end up coughing up more taxes, then on top of that have a penalty thrown on top of it.
Well, probably the most obvious question we should be asking, Jim, how do you know if you're going to owe a tax penalty, especially now that they've just passed a major tax law change?
There's three provisions. They call them safe harbor provisions to avoid paying a penalty. And the three of them are, number one, you end up owing less than $1,000. The IRS says, look, if you underpaid by $1,000, we're going to give you a free pass. Number two, you paid at least 90% of what you owe for 2018. So if you owe, let's say, $10,000 in taxes and you paid $9,000, that's 90%, you're okay. Number three, you paid 100% of what you owed for 2017. So if you paid 100% of what you owed the previous year, you're going to get a free pass. So planning for 2018 really begins with your advisor or yourself looking at your 2017 tax return. If you're a typical family of four, let me tell you what you lost right off the bat. You lost four exemptions. That's $16,200 right off the top of your gross income. You lost the state tax deduction. You are limited to only $10,000 on property taxes. Now, if you live in the Midwest, you're thinking, big deal. But if you live in New York, New Jersey, along the coast, or California, $10,000, you know, most homes in California, well, we call a millionaire in California a homeowner. So you've seen the cost of housing here. It's just ridiculous. So you're limited on property taxes. You also lost miscellaneous deductions. And also you lost property and casualty deductions. Think of all those fires that you've seen in the news, the hurricanes that we saw. Only unless the president or Congress declares it a national disaster zone are you allowed to deduct any losses from, let's say, a human nature event like we saw the fires and the hurricanes. So you lost a lot of these things, and these are going to be the gotchas that most people aren't thinking about.
Well, outside of making sure to have paid enough taxes to avoid penalties, what tax moves should someone be making right now, Jim, to lower their tax bill, if that's still possible?
Yeah, the first thing you should consider, because this is what they call a deduction above the line, that means it comes off your gross income on the front page of your tax return, is contributions to a retirement plan. Now, most individuals that work in the private sector have something called a 401k plan. If you're working for the state or a teacher, you have a 403b plan. If you're working for the government, you have a 457 plan. Now, the maximum limit this year is $18,500. And if you're over age 50, there's an additional $6,000. So if you turn to age 50 this year and you have not taken advantage of the extra $6,000 you can contribute, you should talk to your HR department and see if you can play catch up this month. In other words, have a good amount of that taken out of your paycheck. And for a lot of you that work for companies that give out bonuses at the end of the year, this is one of the great things you can do, is have your employer talk to HR. And if you know what your bonus is going to be, salt as much of that as possible into, let's say, your 401k plan. The great thing about it, it comes right off the top. It lowers your taxable income. And for many of you, you're working for companies that have matching contributions. So let's say you put that $6,000 of extra contribution because you're age 50. You put that in with your bonus at the end of the year. Your employer matches it with $6,000. You just made 100% return on your money and you just lowered your taxes. So the first obvious thing, Chris, is contributing or making a catch-up provision to any pension plan you may belong to.
Well, that one should be a given, but I'm just surprised to learn that only about 50% of employees utilize and take advantage of the company's tax-deferred savings plan. What other options are available?
Well, this has been a volatile year. If you've been following the markets, especially this week, I mean, we're up 600 points one day, down 800 on the other. Tax loss harvesting is a good strategy this time of the year. Now, if you own a mutual fund, those funds are required to report any capital gains they've taken in their portfolios. So they usually send out those tax notices. They send them out around October, November. So they're required to send those out to you, and you're going to owe taxes on that. So if you have, let's say, capital gains from your funds or ETFs, you might want to look at taking a look at losses that you have on other things you own in your portfolio. It could be another mutual fund. It could be stocks you own, bonds you own. And you can use losses dollar for dollar against gains. In other words, there is no limitation. If you have $15,000 of gains, you can offset that directly with $15,000 of losses. And any unused losses, you can use up to $3,000 and apply it against your gross income. And any amount that you don't use, you can carry forward into the future. You just have to be sure, there's a little caveat here. If you sell something for a loss, let's say you have a stock, it's down right now, but you really want to own it, you have to wait 30 days after you sell it for the loss to buy it back. So just remember that. Anything you're selling to generate a loss to offset your gains, make sure you wait 30 days to buy it back if that's your intention. Now, I need to mention also, if you run a business and you don't have a retirement plan, now might be the time to take the plunge, especially if you live in a high tax state and are facing higher income taxes. For example, you can set up a SEP IRA. You can contribute up to 20% of your self-employment income with a maximum of $55,000 for 2018. That goes up to $56,000 next year. So whether you set up a 401k, the deadline for, by the way, SEP IRA is already passed. That was in October. But you still have other options for setting up a pension plan for yourself. And that's why you might want to talk to your advisor as to what plans are still available. The nice thing about the ones that are available, you get to set them up. As long as you set up the paperwork and set up the plan by December 31st, you have until next year when you file your tax return to fund them. There's one other item I want to throw this out, especially if you run a business and you're thinking of buying a new, let's say, SUV or pickup truck or van that you're going to use for transportation in the business. There is, under the new tax law, a 100% bonus depreciation if you buy an SUV or pickup truck or van, as long as it weighs 6,000 pounds. Don't ask me why they throw that in there, but the vehicle has to weigh 6,000 pounds. So if you own a business and you're thinking of buying an SUV, you can buy that. You know, let's say you're buying a $60,000 SUV, $50,000. You can write all $50,000 off by the end of the year. You don't have to depreciate it over a period of time and pay taxes on it. So here's another sort of year-end tax planning tool for a business, setting up a pension or buying, let's say, an SUV, pickup truck, or van. as long as it weighs 6,000 pounds. Just thought I'd throw that one in there. And actually, I do not get paid by any car dealership. I just want to point that out.
Well, I'm glad you did throw that in there, Jim. Now, I know a certain percentage of our listeners are already retired. What can retirees do under this new tax bill?
Well, first of all, Chris, I have some good news for those that are retired. The standard deduction, they got rid of most itemized deductions in their place. They got rid of itemized deductions, they got rid of exemptions, but they raised the standard deduction. Now, this is more important to seniors who usually end up paying cash for their homes, and they don't have the itemized deductions that they once did, let's say, during their working careers. So right now, the deduction, standard deduction, is going from $12,700 for a married couple to $24,000. And for singles, it's gone from $6,350 to $12,000. So a lot of seniors are in those lower tax brackets. This standard deduction could be helpful. In addition to that, the amount of which you can get in dividends before you start paying taxes for singles is $38,600. In other words, if your income is $38,600, you're going to pay zero tax on your dividends. For married couples, it's $77,200. Now, let me throw in another caveat. It's actually larger than that because if you're single and you take the standard deduction to $12,000, you add it to the $38,600, you can make almost $50,600 before you pay any taxes on your dividends and income. And for married couples, that turns out to be $101,200 of income. So really talk to your advisor on how you can pay zero taxes on dividends. This is something that is underutilized and is an opportunity, especially for our retired listeners.
Well, and that does seem like a big opportunity. But what about the distributions from IRAs, which are required once someone does reach age 70 and a half?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because if you are turning 70 and a half this year, you are required to take a minimum distribution from your IRA. You will have to do that every year going forward, and each year that distribution amount is going to get bigger. So if you don't take the required distribution, or you under withhold, or let's say you don't take out as much as you should, say, for example, you're supposed to take out $10,000, but you only took out $8,000. Guess what? There's a tax penalty of 50% on the amount that you were supposed to take out versus what you did. So this is a sort of a gotcha. One mistake I see happen often to couples is, you know, a husband and wife may have 5 to 10 different IRAs. I've actually even seen more than that. And they don't add up all the IRAs when they're calculating their minimum distribution. And so a lot of times, you know, maybe they have 5, 6 IRAs, and they base their distribution on 4, they forgot about 2 of them, and they end up getting whopped with this 50% tax penalty, which is, quite honestly, another reason why you want to consolidate your IRAs by the time you reach age 70 so you have one account. And that brings me, Chris, to a related tax strategy we're using more and more, which is what is called a Roth conversion. Now, basically, the way this works, you are converting a regular taxable IRA into a tax-free IRA. Now, the amount you transfer from your regular IRA to your Roth IRA is taxable in the year you make the conversion. But here's the great news. Thereafter, assuming the money remains in the Roth for 5 years, it becomes tax-free. There's going to be no mandatory distributions are required. Your heirs will receive it tax-free. And this is really a good strategy to employ after you retire, and hopefully you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. You don't have to do it all at once. You can do it over time to lessen the tax burden, because as you age, you got to remember, and especially for those of you listening, they have large IRAs, you're going to be putting up and taking out more income each year, which is going to push many of you into a higher tax bracket. So the Roth IRA is an excellent tax planning tool to keep your taxes low. We have a couple right now, over a $2 million IRA rollover from the company when he retired. And the goal was we were going to convert $1 million into a Roth IRA. And we were going to do that over a period of years. The idea was to take $1 million, convert it into a Roth. And with tax planning, we're about into year 7 now. So we're almost done with that. In 3 more years, there's Social Security, in their IRA distributions on the remaining regular IRA will be close to $70,000. Now remember, with the standard deduction, you can make up to $101,000 and pay zero taxes. So by doing this, when we get done making the final conversion, their Roth IRA will produce basically plus $31,000 of dividends will be non-taxable because it'll be under that $101,000. We're going to get them $80,000 a year of tax-free income that will be in the zero tax bracket the rest of their retirement. So if you are in a very low tax bracket now that you are retired, then let's say when you were working, and let's say you have a large IRA, you really need to talk to us and let us show you how to make your retirement income tax-free the rest of your life. How many of you would like to get $80,000 tax-free the rest of your life? Whether I don't care if it's $80,000, we've actually had cases where it's larger than that and less than that. But this is a great opportunity for retirees to minimize their taxes, and it warrants, you know, we ought to do a special show on this, and maybe we'll do this next year, because it is a strategy that is underutilized, and it's just a tragedy to see so many people get caught up into high tax brackets when they get in their 70s.
Well, I'm looking forward to us doing that show, Jim, because I think this does relate to so many of our listeners. One of the questions we're often asked here at Financial Sense, though, is about charitable deductions. And since this is the season of giving, what about those deductions? Do charitable deductions still exist, or did those also go by the wayside with this new tax bill?
No, they left charitable deductions alone, and you can still deduct them up to 50% of your adjusted gross income to a qualified charity. Now, adjusted gross income, if you're not familiar with it, look at your tax return. It's the number at the bottom of the page on the front page of your tax return. So you can give up to 50% of that. So you want to take advantage of this, and you can still do it, whether you're donating items that have been sitting around to, let's say, Goodwill or something like that, or cash or securities, but it has to be done before December 31st. So you want to make sure you get this done in time. Now, a couple of other items you may want to consider is making annual gifts to children or grandchildren by year end, because under the tax laws, a husband and wife can give away $15,000 apiece, that's $30,000 per couple, to any individual a year. So let's say if your child is married, you can give up to $15,000 to $30,000 to your child. You can give up to $30,000 to their spouse. You can give up to $30,000 to each one of their kids. And here's another great idea if you're thinking about your grandchildren's education. Make the gift, and also if it's used in a 529 plan for college, guess what? The assets accumulate tax-free, and if they're used for education, there is no tax on any dividends, capital gains, or interest that's earned on the account. We're working with several of our clients. We normally do this towards the end of the year where they make annual gifts. They go into these 529 plans for college. And by the way, there's a way that if, let's say, your grandchild is maybe only 1 or 2 years away from college, you can do a 5-year gift all in 1 year. So imagine how much money you can give for, let's say, your grandchildren's education. So the gifts are non-taxable, and when used in a 529 plan, they accumulate tax-free.
You know, it amazes me the number of ways you still have to lower your taxes, whether it's contributions to a 401k plan or Roth IRAs. It just seems like there's so many of these things available that people don't take advantage of.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, I've been, doing retirement planning now for almost 4 decades, and I see 3 major mistakes that couples make due to poor planning for retirement. Number one is making the wrong decision on Social Security. And that usually leaves the surviving spouse, usually the woman, in a poor financial circumstance. The other is failure to maximize their pension options with their employer. And that's really important, especially today when the employers are matching employee contributions. And then I guess, Chris, the final mistake is not using the Roth IRA in qualified dividends to get tax-free income for the rest of their retirement. I mean, these are really big mistakes that can alter tremendously. Imagine, you know, just imagine getting $60,000, $70,000 tax-free. No state taxes, no federal taxes in the rest of your life versus paying 24% of that here in California, another 9% for state. That's about 35%, 37% in taxes versus tax-free. It's really a tragedy.
Well, it is. And folks, as Jim mentioned, we are going to be doing a special show about this in the coming year. But if you are sitting on a large IRA, getting close to age 70 and a half, when required distributions become mandatory, do give us a call at 888-486-3939 and let us turn your retirement into a tax-free retirement for life.
And as Chris mentioned, we will be doing that. And of course, next year, we start a brand new year. We'll be talking about some tax planning opportunities. But folks, this is a major tax law change year. We have not seen anything of this magnitude since 1986. So do yourself a favor. I know you're thinking about gifts, shopping, holiday parties, maybe what the bonus is going to be this year. Do yourself a favor. Get out your 2017 tax return. Take a look at that. Call your advisor. Call your accountant. Do take the time to start using whatever time is left for the rest of the year to do as many moves, or at least to get yourself prepared. And especially those of you that live in these high tax states like California, New York, New Jersey, I hate to pick on those three, but those are three of the biggest when it comes to state income taxes. It's interesting, Chris, California was coming up with a scheme. They're thinking, I don't know where this has gone, is counting your taxes as charitable contributions. So, so you're making a charitable contribution to your state. I love that one. But I don't know if that's going to fly with the IRS or with the administration. But folks, do yourself a favor. Call your advisor and do some year-end tax planning. And don't get caught with the gotcha taxes, because 2018, for a lot of you, is going to be a gotcha year when you file your taxes next April. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.